What?
Oh, this thing went out of order on me. Went to click on the him.
Clicked on the header.
Yes.
Just click on the header again, and then...
And I gotta move the him.
Move the hims back. Let's open with hymn number 3.
Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. Our hearts in truth.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. All the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. Her companions shall be brought unto thee with gladness and rejoicing. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. Lord be with you. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who hast dealt wonderfully with thy handmaiden, the Virgin Mary, and hast chosen her to be the mother of thy Son, and hast graciously made known that thou regardest the poor and the lowly and the despised, give us grace in all humility and meekness to receive thy word with hearty faith, and so to be made one with Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this day is found in the 11th chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 5th verse. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the third chapter of 1 Timothy, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Here ends the epistle lesson. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. There shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign to the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed art thou, O Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Behold, there shall be a performance of those things which were told thee from the Lord. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel is found in the 11th chapter of Luke, the 39th through the 56th verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary returned with her about 3 months, and Mary remained with her about 3 months, and returned to her house. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 275. Peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the first chapter of Luke, the 39th through the 56th verse. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Redeemed in Jesus Christ, the 2nd of July is the day in the historic church year when we observe the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. But not many likely know this. There are many such days throughout the year that often go unnoticed by modern Lutherans. But it was not always so. In much of the history of the Lutheran Church, there was a divine service with the Lord's Supper held every day, and pastors and congregations, at least those who could attend on such mornings, had the opportunity to hear many more events in the life of Christ, and to remember the ministry of the apostles on the days set aside for them. It is fitting and proper that we do the same. And although we do not have the luxury to hold or attend daily divine services, we at least during the non-festival portion of the year are able to observe some of these days to revive not only a fine custom, but the hearing of many scriptures which are not so often preached upon. And today we have an excellent one, from which we might preach many sermons and still not use all the truth contained in these verses. Here we have the first meeting between Jesus and John the Baptist, the first confession of the deity of Christ, and the beautiful hymn which Mary sings on the occasion, the Magnificat, which is filled with much Christian doctrine. Here she gives thanks unto God for showing such grace unto her, even in her sin and lowliness, and fulfilling his promise made to Abraham and the patriarchs to send a Savior to men. Our lesson begins telling us how Mary arose quickly and came to the city of Judah. She had heard from the angel that her cousin Elizabeth had conceived in her old age and was now already in her 6th month. Mary wasted no time but rushed to see her cousin to help her in her final months and to be with her for the birth. When Mary arrived, she greeted her cousin joyfully as one might expect. But at the greeting, a miracle happened. The child John leaped in Elizabeth's womb for joy. Just as Gabriel had promised to Zechariah, the child was filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He delighted to be in the presence of the Son of God. It is almost as if the child looked forward with anticipation to the time when he could be the herald of Jesus. But at that moment, Elizabeth was also herself filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke prophetically with a loud voice, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The Lord had given her direct knowledge of the great blessing which he had imparted to Mary. And so even before Jesus performed miracles in the face of his disciples, long before Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, here was Elizabeth declaring that the fruit of Mary's womb was her Lord. What a confession this is. Having no other evidence than the promise of God and the witness of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth was ready and willing to call Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. He had yet performed no miracles. She had no evidence but for God's word. How many of the priests and scribes and the most learned among men were ready to make such a confession in those days? How many of them even believed that the Messiah would come at all? We see only a few here and there. We see Elizabeth. At Jesus' birth, we see Simeon and Anna. And we see Mary. Surely there were others, but they were all hidden among the multitude of the people of Israel. How often it is this way in the world, where among the millions of people who confess to believe the Bible, there are really just a remnant who take it seriously, who are ready and willing to believe every word of which God speaks, no matter how much it contradicts their common sense and experience. They are rare, so rare that God calls them a little flock, a remnant. Even among God's faithful people, such unquestioning faith is rare. But as Elizabeth is quick to point out, another faith also shone brightly on that day, the faith of Mary. Here was a young woman who, if tradition is correct, was an orphan. She has no reason to hope for anything good for herself, but God had shown her grace by betrothing her to a caring husband, Joseph. Now suddenly, God sent an angel to her, telling her something that defies not only common sense, but is plainly impossible, that she would conceive in her virginity. How many people were told such things? When Gabriel told Zacharias that his wife Elizabeth would be with child in her old age, he doubted and demanded proof of the claim. When the Lord told Abraham that Sarah, his wife, would likewise conceive in her old age, Sarah laughed. And yet when Gabriel told Mary that she would conceive and bear a child in her virginity, something vastly more incredible than conceiving and bearing a child in old age through the natural means, she believed the word of the Lord without question. And Elizabeth confirmed Mary in her faith when she said, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." By this, Elizabeth is saying that all that God had promised will surely be fulfilled. You shall indeed bear the Son of God. Blessed is she who believed. Blessed indeed are all who so believe the promises of God in Jesus Christ. For such faith is entirely uncommon. The world is full of scoffers, even many claiming to be Christians who poo or trivialize the doctrine of the virgin birth. All of the wonderful things that God has prepared for man in his Son are cast aside by such naysayers. But what does it mean when men deny what God has so plainly written and witnessed? It means that they're denying Jesus Christ before men. And concerning such a man, Jesus himself said, "Whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." They're saying that Jesus was the Son. They are denying that Jesus was the Son of God. They are denying that he is the Redeemer of the world. And they may cast it in sophisticated and nuanced speech. And that's not surprising, because Satan himself is a very nuanced and sophisticated individual. But there can be no denial of the plain truths of God in Jesus Christ without denying the Savior entirely. Amid such scoffing, genuine faith becomes all the more precious. The Roman Church went far astray by elevating Mary to the place of a goddess, and the Lutheran Church was right to put away such foolish idolatry. But it is sad that in the years since, far too many have gone to the opposite extreme and have done their best to steadfastly ignore the Mother of the Lord, when they certainly would have done no such thing for any of the apostles. What a tragedy that they allow Rome to rob them of such a wonderful example of faith and piety. For truly, one does not exaggerate to say that she is one of the finest examples of faith and virtue to be found in all the Scriptures. And what do we learn from her example? We learn how rich the grace of God in Jesus Christ is for all those who trust in him. We learn to give God, and God alone, all glory for the blessings of salvation. We learn the fruit of believing God's word, that we shall never be disappointed in him, no matter how extraordinary his claims seem to be. These are on ample display in this beautiful canticle, which we normally sing during the Advent season, the Magnificat. Though it was sung first by Mary, it is truly a hymn for all the church. The bride of Christ can take up this song with gusto. Let us hear some of it briefly and consider its timeless meaning. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Of all the works that God has done, from creation to his many miracles, the work that stands out above them all is his salvation, that he is a God who saves his people from their sins. It is that we have such a Savior that gives us reason to magnify the Lord. If he were not such a Savior, he would remain magnificent, but we would have no cause to praise him for it. We could only be afraid of him because of our sins and never trust in him. For he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. The church in this world is always lowly, as Mary was. We are despised, trivialized, and made the butt of jokes. We are often persecuted and sometimes tortured and martyred. Though no one should use such suffering to draw any conclusion about individuals or individual churches, it is still true that the more faithful one is, the more faithful that any given members of the church are, the more they are despised in the world. Yet our gracious Lord has regarded the lowly estate of his church. And even in the midst of her trials, he visits her with his mercy. He sent Jesus in the world to save her. He feeds us with the bread and water of life, which is his word, because we desire it. But those who are proud and count themselves rich and think that they have no need for the forgiveness of sins, he sends away empty and hungry. The mighty men on their thrones have persecuted and killed the church day and night, and yet they are dust. And the church of Jesus endures still from generation to generation. And more than endure, the Lord has exalted us from our lowliness. He has made us his dear children, and he has given us the inheritance of sons. He has made us rich beyond all that men can comprehend, and he has reserved for us in heaven. In all, the Lord has kept the promise which he made to Abraham and to his seed forever. And he has done all of these great things for us by giving us his Son, Jesus Christ. Blessed indeed are all they who believe, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which God has promised them in his Son, Jesus Christ. God will not break his promise, no matter how small and despised the faithful remnant of God's people have been. He has kept his promise to them. He has sent his Son Jesus in a way that men call impossible. He has used the lowliness of his Son, even being persecuted to death, to bring upon us the blessings of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And therefore, in this world which grows progressively more callous to the promises of God's word and ever more fiercely persecutes his church, let us continue to believe that he who has already kept such wonderful promises in Jesus Christ will not fail to keep them also for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. us pray. O God, King Eternal, who didst make the seven stars and Orion, and turnest the shadow of the earth into the morning of life, who art our light and salvation and our portion forever, we, thy children, seek thee now in prayer and beseech thee to rest thy hand in benediction upon us. Bless us, O Lord, with such faith in thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may believe in him with all our hearts, and trusting in his merits may have the assurance of everlasting life. Bless us from the fountain of thy love with the gracious water of life and the washing of regeneration in the Holy Spirit. Keep us ever within thy care, and as thy glorious creation has been marred by man's sinfulness and lies in travail under the shadow of thy judgment, defend us in all times of danger and save us in every peril, from earthquake and storm, from hatred and war, from tyranny and persecution, from famine and plague, and from corruption and rebellion, deliver us. Keep us securely within thy grace, O Lord, that by reason of our sins and frailties we may never depart from thee. Help us to grow in grace now in the time of our vigor and in the hour of our death. Preserve us in the true faith of thy holy name. Grant that we may have inheritance with all thy children and know the joys of thy adoption in the redemption of our bodies, and the resurrection unto life eternal. Make thy face to shine upon thy church, that through her labor the light of thy truth may shine in all the world, that thy way may be known upon earth, and thy saving help among all nations. Let her watchmen bear thy name in all godliness and purity, and give her people gladness in thy true service. Stretch forth thine arm over our land, and that thy power and glory may be seen from shore to shore, in the stately halls of government, in the busy precincts of commerce, in the classroom and on the farm, and in the minds and hearts of men of whatever dignity or position in life, that our people may repent, and that our land may know that thou art Lord over all, and that thou givest thy glory to no other. Be gracious to all our families, that our children may grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. To this end, give thy spirit to our parents, that they may be endowed with Christian ideals and live in obedience to Christ's commandments. Lift up thy countenance, O Lord, upon all who suffer sickness or sorrow, the infirmities of age or the weariness of toil, separation from loved ones or uncertainty in decision, misunderstandings or bitterness or any other adversity, and grant them thy peace. Show thyself to them a very present help in time of need, giving them wisdom and understanding, wholeness of mind and body, courage and hope. These petitions we bring to thee, O Lord, and ask all things for Christ's sake. Amen. We sing hymn 369.
Oh,
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them onward to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We sing hymn 53.
Jesus.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Morning. Everybody else sufficiently sunburned?
Dad.
What?
On the radio. They said when we saw fireworks, then they said fireworks.
Queensland.
What?
Queensland, Australia.
That's Colin.
But it only shows less than a minute online.
That would be Colin. Probably, most likely. Queensland. It's Queensland. If Queensland's in South Adelaide, that'd be Colin.
Well, is he near Hunter?